Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Spark London.
We tell true stories.
We tell them live.
And we tell them all across London.
This story was told by Martin Bowman in March 2015.
I suppose I was always going to get involved in environmentalism. When I was six, I got bullied for giving arguments about global warming. My main argument that I got bullied for was that the ice caps would melt. This would release water into the Atlantic. This has a thing called the Atlantic Conveyor, which spreads all of the warm air around the world and keeps us going. And then that would stop, and then we'd be plunged into an ice age. And people were like, global warming, this shouldn't lead to an ice age. I was also into Doctor Who and had two layers of teeth like a shark. So that was my popularity at primary school. So, you know, other people had the Oedipus complex. I had the salinization of water. So that was quite a formative year. So flash forward from the tender age of six to the tender age of 22. I'm now involved in environmental activism. I've got into this through a complex range of factors that can be summarized briefly as desire for social equality, frustration with capitalism, a girl, and Gandhi. So a heady mix, but, you know, a potent one that nudged me forcefully in that direction. So I was on a train. I was speeding towards a power station, which is in the middle of nowhere. It had lots of forests around it. The plan was that we were going to shut this down. We were going to shut down this power station. And people had camped there overnight in the forests like gorillas. And like a kind of Apocalypse Now kind of vision, like Vietnam maybe, they prowled through the forests, but using Twitter to communicate with each other. So like Apocalypse Now, but with more hashtags. I was going up. I was going to join them. Other than that, there was also a lovely bit, which was kind of chanting, and you got to dress up, and there was sort of papier-mâché. There were probably some ukuleles. Certainly, I had one with me. So had that one covered. We arrived. We found out of the train. People were gathering. Coaches were coming. Hundreds of people were at this. This was on a small scale. This was a big military operation that we were undergoing. There were these different bits of the protest. You decide which bit you're comfortable with before. So there's kind of hard activism. That's what they call it, hard activism. And that's the kind of, you know, guerrilla warfare kind of end of the spectrum. And then there's fluffy activism. It's quite a nice term, isn't it? And that's basically that scale. It sort of roughly correlates with how likely you are to be hit with a truncheon. At this protest, there seemed to be no middle ground in particular between breaking into huge industrial complexes and singing. So I was firmly on the fluffy end of the spectrum, so hence the ukulele. We gathered, we got off the train, banners were unfurling, we saw a samba band file off the coach, saw some clowns cycle past. Beautiful scenes, pastoral idylls. We began to wander down a road, we decided to head off. The chants began. Now, I'm not sure if in any other kind of revolutionary culture, irony was a big feature of chanting, but there's always a slightly endearing quality to English marches where it's a kind of combination between revolutionary fervour and everyone feeling like it's a bit silly. And so there are always inevitably moments, you know, it's spontaneous, it's great, which is great, it's like anonymous, it's anarchism. But, you know, also that means sometimes it can be a bit of a shambles. And I think we're innately aware of that. So people are like, haha. You know, I don't think ironic shouting would have happened during the Russian Revolution, but perhaps that's why the English are incapable of a revolution. Food for thought. So we were going along and we came to the end of this road and we were sort of surrounded by trees. There was a field to the right-hand side and we set up camp, as it were, and we started chanting. And I began to grow dissatisfied. I felt, you know, there aren't really many media here. What are we doing? We're quite a long way from the power station. We're essentially chanting at a hedge at this stage. And I begin to have grave doubts about the political impact that this is having. I mean, sure, hedge funds are very influential. Maybe that poor joke. So we were there, and the police began to array next to us, sort of lining up at equal intervals in front of us, feeling quite intimidating. A clown, treating them like the cones at a school sports day, began to ride a tiny bicycle in between them, weaving slowly in and out, and they looked uneasily at him. Then suddenly the gorillas appeared. The gorillas, I mean my friends from the woods, the people who camped out the night before. And at this stage I was feeling, you know, surely there must be something more I can do that's more effective. So I rushed over to them all full of excitement, and they were there and we caught up. And then suddenly more police vans began to emerge and out of them filed police dogs. Now, I don't have a particularly good relationship with dogs. When I was six, there's no nice way of saying this, I was knocked off my Postman Pat van by a dog. When I was six, it was very traumatising, don't want to talk about it too much, but it happened. They threw the stick, it landed on the back of my van. You can understand what happened. So I wasn't very happy by the presence of these police dogs that aren't very nice at the best of times. We all fled into the forest. They advanced in a big long line and we fled into the forest. Suddenly, I was in a clearing with all of these radical people, some of whom I knew, some of whom I didn't. But we were alone in the forest. I was out there. I was doing it. I was doing hard activism. Hard activism. We had a little plenary. We were beginning to panic. We decided, right, we're going to split into groups. We're going to go around the periphery of this power station. We're going to try and find weak spots in the fence. And I was like, okay, I can do a middle ground. I can do a middle ground. I can help them over the fence, but not actually go in myself. That's nice, isn't it? That's nice. That feels meaningful. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to be clubbed to death on a pile of coal. So we set off into the woods. And by this stage, I should emphasize that it was getting slowly darker. It was nearly nightfall. So I was suddenly in a position where, with a group of people, albeit buddied up with a friend, commando crawling through a forest. This was not fuzzy activism. My ukulele was long gone. And so we crawled through the forest. We were nearing the periphery of the forest occasionally, and flashlights of police were hoving into view. And they came to a slope, a grassy bank that went down to the left. We began to go down there. By this point, it was nearly completely dark. We went down, and there was a train track that ran from right to left, and it was curving into the power station, bringing the coal through. We went down. The people I saw ahead of me went up to the railway tracks, and then suddenly a flashlight appeared. We were rumbled. The police had appeared. The people came back up the track and they said, oh, the policeman has said, you know, we have to go, but they'll let us go if we go back now. We began to go back up the track. At this stage, heard panic shouting everywhere. Chaos erupted. The dogs started barking and people started screaming. They've unleashed the dogs. This is an escalation from Postman Pat. This is basically my worst nightmare at this stage. I'm running through the fucking Blair Witch Project in the middle of the night with blunderbusses, with tongues the size of gaffer tape. I don't know the metaphor. Long tongues. And they're coming at us. So we run up. We go under a fence. We duck into the forest. We've scattered. All buddy systems have gone. Suddenly someone screams to my right. They fall down. They are being mauled by a dog. We hear really aggressive barking. This is less funny, but also a tale of police brutality to caution you with. Policemen emerged and we were all shaking at this point. We put our hands in the air for some reason. I don't know what that is. Some innate desire to surrender. Also, having only experienced such scenes, possibly from science fiction movies, a bit embarrassing. We tried to get him to put the police on its lead. We were absolutely terrified at this stage. These were huge dogs. They were actually mauling people in the middle of nowhere. I think because we're in the middle of nowhere, they basically thought we can get away with whatever we want. We were summarily led away. They eventually put the dog back on the leash. So I basically fled home. And that's pretty much the end of the story. So be careful of riding Postman Pat vans and trying to break into large industrial complexes. Thank you.
Spark Encore is back this Thursday
in Exmouth Market.
The theme,
best laid plans.
Full details at sparklondon.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.